Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 623. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, you know, just another fun-filled week of wrestling and... I'm not sure what walking. A lot of walking this weekend. I believe 8 miles of walking this past weekend.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. What was going on to cause that in the middle of January?
Nice weather. I mean, You know, mid or high 30s and sunny is about as much as you can ask for in Ohio for winter. So we took advantage. It was pretty decent out if you were out at the correct hours without too much coverage. So, and there was beer to be had, and one of the beers actually will be talked about later tonight, and I need to pour for myself still because it's in a growler. Came at the end of one of those walks. I always love it when we get to go to Stoss Brewing. It is very tasty, and I am pretty sure that this is their Citra Pale Ale, so... very much looking forward to it here during this show. But in the meantime, Chris, evidently some people must have been going somewhere in the WWE because I would have to say that I know that there have been some positives within the WWE prior to now. There was never anything as noticeable, though, as what just happened this week.
Yeah, and for the first time, they actually let someone say the word COVID and admit it. They seem to want to get ahead of the story, make Drew McIntyre the new face of, be responsible during COVID.
Yeah.
Interesting... way to go about it. I mean, it's... he says he's asymptomatic. The Royal Rumble's 3 weeks away. It's not the biggest inconvenience at this point for that. Not that I think anyone really was all that excited to see him versus Randy Orton again on Monday Night Raw either, so...
Yeah, like, I don't think that was necessary. Him and Goldberg... there's not going to be a lot of physicality, anyway. Like, even if there weren't any problems, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of physicality in that buildup. You know, maybe a spear here or there, but I wouldn't think that they would give too much away. So, yeah, like, the build to the match isn't going to be that much different. Like, obviously a face-to-face would be better, but, you know, there does have to be at least a little bit of concern for one Mr. Goldberg, considering that, he is not as young as Drew McIntyre.
Correct, yeah. Well, that didn't stop them from booking Ric Flair on last night's show. That was incredibly irresponsible. Using Flair has been incredibly irresponsible this whole time. It was earlier in the year, but yeah, I don't. Maybe the term outbreak. Maybe a little exaggerated. It doesn't feel like only four people within WWE have confirmed to have had it, or they currently have it, or they're just getting over it, which means it's not all at the same time.
Oh, right. Yeah, which isn't surprising. Even for a lot of these sports teams... they don't necessarily have every, player that ends up testing positive during the week the same day. So, I mean, even if you're one day apart from, the positive test, that gives you a slightly different end date for everyone involved. So,
a strange turn of events, despite the fact that they had this bizarre episode of Raw where four people wrestled twice. There were multiple people who were backstage, but just not chosen to be used. Asuka, Shelton Benjamin, Cedric Alexander, Ricochet, Nikki Cross, and R-Truth, who did do his regular appearance on Raw Talk with Charlie Caruso.
Oh.
We're all there.
Oh, wow. That is something I was not aware of, and I'm glad you're bringing it up as part of the show.
Well, that's according to PW Insider. Blame them, don't blame me. I have no sources.
But, I mean, it seems reasonable. I know that I did see R-Truth because I've started to do some of my catching up on Raw on YouTube. You know, to fill in some quick review time. And, yeah, I saw him on the Raw Talk, so he was at least there. It would not surprise me, I guess, that all of the Hurt Business was there.
Yeah.
Because they're not always all out there, especially for a Bobby Lashley match. It usually is just MVP out there, so there wasn't anything. It was weird to not see Kofi out there with Xavier Woods.
That's a legitimate, that's an injury.
But yeah, that...
Yeah, when, a couple weeks back when he got rocked in the jaw, he got rocked in the jaw. It may be broken.
Yeah, I guess I hadn't until today seen the picture of his teeth that came out in that move. And honestly, it didn't look like the full teeth. It kind of looked like parts of the teeth fell out, and I'm going to assume that the rest of it's going to need to be yanked. So, yeah, that a lot of broken jaws here recently. I don't know why that's a popular injury. But it is, yeah, so, but I guess to kind of get back to my point, it wasn't strange to not see Cedric and Shelton Benjamin out there for that match, I guess, but not seeing Kofi there, I was like, huh? And I guess, yeah, then I ended up seeing later in the day that he had the jaw injury, and I was just like, oh, I didn't realize that this was a known thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think I wouldn't have been on the show a couple of weeks back, so when they had the second, or is it second match of the Hurt Business? Or the third match? I don't even remember.
12th match?
Yeah.
You could have told me any number of matches.
Yeah. that is where it happened. I think it was very noticeable that he got hit really, really hard. But no, so that's not a COVID-related reason.
Oh, right.
Okay, this is what Meltzer is saying, and it's in Meltzer at Ease. There was one case on SmackDown. There's one case on SmackDown.
Right.
Now, there could be more cases from SmackDown because I don't know when they do the testing for SmackDown because that's on Friday. There is one case involving a big star that is now – so this is somebody who – was on the COVID reserve list due to COVID, but is back. So that almost doesn't even really count. And then,
oh right.
And then there's a case in NXT.
That's
not really an outbreak. I think that we're getting a little wrestling media over exaggeration here. I mean, it's not good. Some people certainly seems that over the new year decided to be a little more reckless. Now there are people who are, you know, often reckless if you follow their social media, particularly on Instagram. But and there's talk that maybe there were some AEW people who could have it, some Impact people. So we'll see where this goes. But as of right now, I don't really consider four an outbreak.
Well, and I did kind of forget that they had mentioned AEW and Impact during this whole situation, like, because
it's a situation that the combination of it being New Year's and a lot of people just wanted to get together after Brody Lee passed away.
There was,
you know, at the AEW hotel the night of the tribute show, and then New Year's Eve was right the next night. I think a lot of people who don't usually see each other, you know, interacted with each other.
Yeah. Yep. That's an easy way to get the party started. And I mean, I guess that might be the concern at this point, is that there might be a few more dominoes to fall. But yeah, at least for the information that we've been given right now, Outbreak is definitely an exaggerated word to be using.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly sucks when your champion is is down with this, and will not be able to be on the show until, I assume, the show, the go home show for the Royal Rumble, will be the earliest we'll see Drew McIntyre back.
One would imagine. Because, again, he doesn't really need to be there anyway.
No, he doesn't. No, he's got a match that it's just, either you want to see it or you don't. There's nothing they're going to be able to do, really. Change anyone's mind, either way.
They can trade promos just as easily over video, or you can do a Tom Phillips, like, interview over, you know, Skype, and have both guys on it. You know, why fly Goldberg out there too?
Yeah.
Cause doesn't he live in California?
Either California, is he living in Atlanta right now? I'm trying to remember. Oh. Or did he move somewhere very rural just to be away from everybody type situation? I'm not sure.
Yeah. I guess I was just thinking, the last time I remember really listening to him was the first time he was on Steve Austin's podcast, and I remember, I feel like at that time he was living in California, because he actually drove up to Austin's recording studio there in LA. So that was one that I kind of remember, but I haven't, you know, I don't really keep track of Goldberg, and he could have more than one home also. I'm sure the guy has made a few shekels in his time.
Shekels, huh? Well, he certainly resembles that remark.
Whatever way, like, there isn't really any reason to have Goldberg there either. It's an inconvenience, and it's a big one. And like you said, like, it's almost interesting. We know that they've had other positive cases. I guess just because he's involved in a storyline is why he ended up becoming their poster boy. You know, I guess I just feel like they could have hidden this, like some other things.
They could have. They have to have a reason why they wanted it known. I mean, he's just too big of a name right now. He is the WWE champion on Raw, so for him to just completely disappear for 2 weeks, people will figure it out anyway, I guess. Unless they really are going to clamp down, they're going to have a more serious, you know, COVID policy soon. You know, they're going to really clamp down on the fraternizing outside of work hours. And develop a true bubble, maybe, possibly. Because they got to be really concerned now. They're 3 weeks in the Royal Rumble, which is just naturally putting about a dozen or so people in the ring at a time. It's different. It's not a battle royal, so it's not, you know, 30 in the ring at the same time. But
right.
it's still, you know. It's still risky. It's still risky to run Royal Rumbles and battle royals during COVID.
No, yeah.
They run battle royals, though.
Well, and I think 12 is probably a good number. Like, they don't really. I feel like maybe 16. Like, I don't feel like even 16 seems extreme, honestly. I wonder what the Royal Rumble by the numbers. Like, I don't know what. They always love to run that gimmick, the numbers with the Royal Rumble. So I guess I would be kind of interested in how many people, you know, that the most people that were ever in a ring in a Royal Rumble. Because I do feel like 16 seems like a lot. Because we're all... Because of... What, it was... All the fields have been... or most of the fields have been 30 people. With a few... Because the greatest Royal Rumble over in Saudi was 50 people. But I feel like there was a beefed up Royal Rumble that maybe had 40 people in it.
Yeah, they did the... Yeah. 2000, the one Alberto Del Rio won in 2011 was 40.
Okay. So, yeah, I guess I wouldn't be surprised if that one maybe had the, ended up having the most people in the ring just because they had the most people in the match.
Yeah, it's looking like maybe it was, I'm just on Reddit. Or as people in the wrestling business call it. Well, spell it WREDDIT.
Yes.
Yeah, it looks like it was 14 in 1994, but this was updated in 2017.
Oh, okay. So we're missing a couple of years, but I mean, that sounds pretty reasonable. Like, I never feel like they've really overcrowded the ring in a Royal Rumble. Like, when they get to a point where there's, like, 12 to 14 people, they tend to start pitching people out there.
Yeah.
Just to kind of clear the ring. So, yeah. I mean, you definitely... that is the one thing about the Royal Rumble, is you can control that situation better.
Yeah.
And
last year, half the match was just Brock in the ring with one other person, and then Brock in the ring by himself.
Yeah, I mean, that would be one way to control the situation. I mean, it would be kind of hilarious if Brock came back and won the Royal Rumble this year. It did the same thing, but ended up winning the Royal Rumble this time around. I mean, that would be a quick and easy solution to that problem. Like, he'd obviously have some guys that could give him a run for his money, and you could sneak some extra people in the ring at the same time to start to get things a little bit crowded. But, yeah, there are ways to control that at the Royal Rumble, so... We'll see if they end up doing that or not. I would imagine that they will, just because, you know, you're still running some chances there.
Right. Yeah.
And
they absolutely are.
I would imagine that I would imagine there are not going to be too many outside surprises at this Royal Rumble. Like, I would think that this would be more of a NXT surprise. Yeah,
they just had a Legends Night last week, and
never mind.
Ric Flair is now going. Ric Flair is back being as a weekly regular.
Yeah, never mind. I just pretend I didn't say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is true. I guess they will bring people in, like. Yeah, the Ric Flair thing, that whole situation is wild if you... Because I believe it was posited and possibly after the show that we recorded about Raw and SmackDown that the angle from last week was with Ric Flair and Charlotte was not supposed to happen. It was a...
That was obviously. This is obviously. She was flirting with him the whole match last week, and then of course last week there was ambiguity to the idea of whether he tripped up Charlotte on purpose. This week,
yes, this wow. week. I mean, they definitely put that whole thing to rest for sure.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure where this is all going. Because, keep in mind, they've made multiple times note that Lacey Evans is a married woman herself. This is canon in WWE storylines. It's part of her story that she's that she can work. She's an astro. She was a Marine. She's a WWE superstar. But she still makes it home every evening to make her husband dinner because she's a classy lady. So it's a weird thing to do for her character wise.
I guess
they're going somewhere with
because they haven't mentioned the husband very much. I guess I kind of forgot about that part. I forgot that it was canon, like you're saying.
They haven't played it up in a while. They've gone. Well, you know, yeah, she doesn't do a lot of the stuff she did when she first came on the scene, as far as, you know, the lady of being the classy lady. You know, they haven't done that as much with that. I don't know where you can go with this. Obviously, people are mentioning Dawn Marie and Al Wilson. and of course, the one of the funnier tweets I saw from someone. She wants to kill him and inherit all that sweet debt.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, and I mean, I guess it does make it extra awkward. I guess I've kind of forgotten that. I feel like it's been acknowledged on... Has it been acknowledged on WWE TV that Ric Flair is married?
No. They haven't talked about it. I haven't been being married. It was always weird in WCW when he was a babyface, and they would introduce his wife or have the kids on TV, and then of course as soon as he turns heel, he's back to be the womanizing again. But yeah, Ric Flair should not be on TV during COVID. Should not have been on at all during the whole Randy Orton storyline or any of that. And now you're bringing him back for this, and it's just like, what are they doing? Like, I don't get what the end game for this can be. Maybe they've let's see if they. Yeah, I just can't even really do a wedding episode because everyone knows they're both married. Like, I'm just at a loss for words trying to figure out what they're even doing with this.
Yeah, and I mean, it completely, like...
It's derailing Charlotte's return.
Yeah.
Two losses in 2 weeks after she'd been gone for nearly 6 months, and we're ending up in Royal Rumble season, and into WrestleMania, which, of course, is WrestleMania. Royal Rumble season is only like 4 weeks, but WrestleMania season, and you want her in a prominent match, and, you know, we've tried this with Lacey Evans. She's just not that good when the bell rings. So it's like, why do you want to tie Charlotte down with this? All the while, Charlotte is still a women's tag team champion with Asuka. Peyton Royce was nowhere to be seen. Where is all this going?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. And yeah, that's kind of the problem with it. Like, it is very confusing. Like, I don't know why you do that. Why do you bring Charlotte back for that? It doesn't do anything for her. Like, I mean, they've literally already pointed out that it's a rehash of a storyline that they already did.
Well, the storyline. Well, that was Charlotte going full heel on her dad and throwing him out of her life so that she could stay, you know, a heel during that time period, because, you know, when Rick's around, he'll always be cheered to some degree. This is Flair turning heel on Charlotte, but at least they don't have to worry about a live crowd cheering him anyway.
I don't get the need for it at all.
No, either.
There
makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, there is no need for it. It's weird. It distracts from way too much. Like, her return, the tag team championships, especially, like, Well, yeah, like, and the tag team championships are another weird thing. Like, you have Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax have a dominant win, but then they have a problem with each other at the end of it. It's just like, hold on, why did you just squash Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose? Not that they're going to be, you know, anything great, I don't think, but, you know, they should at least be in the tag team division. You know, if you don't trust them as singles wrestlers, like, they're the people that should have good win-loss record as a tag team.
Yeah, no, you're right, and I'm, you know, Nia's already declared for the Royal Rumble. Shayna is not. Also, unless they're going to run with Shayna, Asuka has no singles opponent for the Royal Rumble. And Asuka, who, I guess, despite actually being there and not being ill or not being positive for COVID in any way, you know, not on the show. So, what are we doing with Asuka? Asuka has had a terrible second title reign since beating Sasha Banks at SummerSlam, and it's unfortunate, and I don't know where this Raw Women's Division is going. It's just been so because it's just been so terrible.
Hey,
we Charlotte coming back was supposed to be the spark that lit it back up. Yeah, well, that's not happening.
No, and trying to get Lacey Evans over again for the at least fourth time, I don't think is the way to go.
And in a role that just doesn't suit her. The sex pot role, because once again...
Oh.
We've seen that she's married, we've seen her with her daughter, we've seen, you know, it's just like, it's just not working. It would have been Peyton Royce would have been a better choice to be the one trying to seduce Ric Flair.
Yes, 100%. It makes way more sense for Peyton Royce to be doing that. But here we are, something completely not making any sense, and just, derailing a number of storylines all at the same time. And putting an elderly man in harm's way for no good reason at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a good look by the WWE. Like, they can make Drew McIntyre a poster child and try to spin this, but, there's a lot of contradictory evidence.
Yeah, no.
Well, since we were mostly on Raw, I guess I'm trying to think of... Oh, the other double match participants, I guess we could keep on going with. Because that was kind of... Because I was... I wanted to be able to flip more than I did, but the wife does not allow flipping. So we were watching the championship game, and I tried to check back in on Raw, so I didn't realize... By the time I saw Keith Lee have his second match, I didn't realize that... did Jeff Hardy already have two matches prior to
Jeff
that?
Hardy did. I didn't even see it because I flipped off because I am just so uninterested in seeing Jackson Ryker do anything and dragging Elias down with him. And I also had no desire to watch another Jeff Hardy-Elias match either. Apparently, they did a match, and I didn't even see it, where... Elias announced that he'd been hurt, so Jackson Ryker was taking his place, and Ryker must have beaten Jeff Hardy fairly quickly.
Yes, he did.
And then they somehow got it back to Hardy versus Elias, which then Hardy won and to get his heat back. Yay.
Yeah, like when you get your heat back literally the next match... It's not really doing anyone any good. Like, because I sat there, I'm like, hold on. Like, it's one thing to make the bodyguard the heavy, but he's always got to kind of, unfortunately, lose the matches.
Yeah, I do not get how, why they... First, I don't get hiring and featuring Jackson Riker to begin with, even before he got into all the trouble. But why do they insist on pushing him as some kind of a monster? He's not that tall. He's not that... His body's not that great. I don't understand it. I never understand that when they did that ladder match in NXT where he threw everyone around and then they all had to gang up on him like he was like he was the Big Show or something in a match like that. It's just like I don't get it. The other bodyguard on Raw is 7 feet two.
Well, I think it's either. I can't remember if it was you or Jeremy that pointed out, they're like, Elias is the same size as Jackson Riker.
Yes.
Essentially. And it was just like, yeah. Like, I guess I do think that he's ripped, but who cares? Like, you could do that. You could have him be a monster in NXT just because they have a lot of smaller guys. Like, he wasn't doing that against Keith Lee and Donovan Dijakovic and Damian Priest down on NXT. Like, I feel like that was all, you know, the Undisputed Eras of the world.
Yeah.
You know, and some other guys that were just generally smaller. So it's just like, okay, you can get away with it there. But when he's on the main roster, that's where it's just like, size comes in to play a little bit more. You know? And he isn't, because, yeah, he doesn't even have something like, Omos is just ridiculous, but you know, he isn't. Riker isn't particularly tall either.
No, he's not. I made that point. I just don't get it.
Yeah.
Once again, they could have made an example of some people, and he was certainly one of them. Someone and people who have nothing to offer. If you think Riddle still has something to offer despite the controversy surrounding him. Okay, maybe. Gunner from TNA? He's in some kind of protected class?
Yeah.
He has upside?
That's the part that I definitely don't get. Like, it's just... To me, you can use him in that type of a role, henchman role. But... Elias has taken the back seat to him for I don't know what reason exactly.
And I go back to that first week or second week Elias was back and he did that concert where he was actually really good, and it's just like, why is he not a babyface? Why are you costing yourself albums, literal album sales by insisting that he's still this guy, this annoying guy who really isn't very good, and he just, you know, and loses all the, he's a heel, insults the audience, and he loses all the time. Just bad. Just very bad.
Not good. Not good at all. I mean, I guess it was okay, but I still don't get the continued Keith Lee and Sheamus storyline. Like,
I don't get it either. I don't get what they're doing. I don't get that. No, I don't care where this is going. We've decided that Sheamus is not getting the WWE Championship match at the Royal Rumble. Who knows if or when he's going to get a title match. He lost to Keith Lee again. So he's not exactly building any much in the way of any momentum. We've already seen Keith Lee face Drew McIntyre and lose last week.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's what the hell are they going to do with Drew McIntyre in the WWE Championship when they're past their stopgap measure with Goldberg? and they've promoted no one to being worthy at WrestleMania worthy. I know there's a pay-per-view in between that they can also work some magic with, but yeah, as we made a point last week, not good times on old Monday Night Raw.
No, it's been a rough one for pretty much everyone involved, and since everyone did double segments, there is a whole lot of suck to go around for everyone. Keith Lee wins, but it's just what does he, he doesn't really get anything out of it.
No, he's beaten, I think the second time he's beaten Sheamus. He's already had his shot, so it's back to the end of the line.
And it's one thing, you can say back to the end of the line, but it's just he needs to fight someone lower on the totem pole almost and move up to a Sheamus again. I could see doing that and have him in a squash match and then have him in a semi-competitive match and then move on to a Sheamus match to kind of start building momentum back up. But just having him jump right back into Sheamus to me, doesn't do it for me.
I like to see Keith Lee against now, next, Lashley. Send him after the U.S. title. I think that could be really, really good.
Oh. Yeah, and Lashley needs something. He hasn't really had much of a title defense record.
No, he really has not.
Did he just submit Jeff Hardy, twice somewhat easily? Recently?
Yeah, recently, and then he tapped Riddle last night. So...
Yeah, they're running
out. That feud's pretty much over too.
Yeah, they're running out of middle-sized bodies to feed to Lashley, and neither of them because they've taken place on Raw. Neither of them have felt like full-fledged feuds.
Yeah, no, they really have not. I think Lashley and Keith Lee could be a good direction as we head into WrestleMania season. For Lashley, otherwise, the only other thing you could do with Lashley would be the Brock Lesnar match. And it would also be one of the last things left that they have for Brock that he hasn't done yet. So you go in that direction if Brock's coming back too as well, and you don't want to do Brock versus Drew McIntyre again.
No, that would be unnecessary. And that would be pretty wild. I was thinking that Brock needed another win, but would I feel bad for Lashley if he ends up losing? If that scenario played out, if he lost at WrestleMania, it's just that guy has just been would be doomed.
In the scenario in my head, Keith Lee doesn't lose to Lashley.
If Keith Lee beats Lashley, then we... Well, that I guess that is another way to rebuild Keith Lee and then get him another chance at the championship.
Yeah.
But down the road and possibly past WrestleMania.
Yeah.
SummerSlam would be a good time, actually.
Good time, yeah.
If they could do that. But, yeah, it's kind of interesting. They do have limited choices. I don't know if the winner of the Royal Rumble will come over to Raw to help straighten things out or not. But I'm not sure there's anyone from SmackDown that's jumping off the page for me. That says, oh, he's a good Drew McIntyre opponent.
No, there really is not. No.
So, you know, it, as much as I have enjoyed SmackDown, I'm not sure who it is. Like, Kevin Owens has been great against against Roman Reigns, but because he's a babyface, he is not really an ideal opponent for Mr. McIntyre.
No, he's not. No, they really.
And Reigns isn't going to move over. I'm trying to think of who the other top. I mean, I don't know why you'd like. To me, you don't want to have Jim. Hold on, is it Jay helping him out? Yeah,
Jay.
Like Jay would be a good challenger, but I don't know how you get him over to Raw. You know, not for WrestleMania, but for like one of those stopgap in betweens.
I'm not really sure. Once again, I'm not really sure what direction you're going for Raw. Meanwhile, SmackDown has multiple directions you could potentially go now. After before we move on to SmackDown, even though we've already gone 45 minutes on Raw, I think if we did not mention the close of Monday Night Raw.
The burning of Randy Orton. Yeah, that would be not good of us to
say
be,
what you want about Raw, but at least it had a memorable finish.
Randy, I didn't think we'd get much payoff, and I'm fine with it. Obviously, about Triple H and Randy Orton. That match ends up getting interrupted by Alexa Bliss. We get a nice little fireball action. That was one serious fireball.
That looked really, really good. It looked like it burned that man's eyeballs off.
Yeah,
eyebrows off.
yeah, that it definitely singed his eyebrows. It's one place to go with that angle. I obviously at this point it feels like they are going to go with a rebirth of the Fiend type of gimmick going on here.
I'm thinking we're getting the second ever Firefly Funhouse match at some point. Possibly at the Royal Rumble, even though Randy Orton's supposed to be scheduled for the Rumble match itself, but maybe after having his eyebrows burn off, he will be seeking a more impactful revenge. What else he can do besides setting a man on fire? I don't know, but I guess we'll see. I mean, part of me was actually hoping that the Fiend would come back but attack Triple H instead. Because Triple H in a Firefly Funhouse match at WrestleMania, going through all of his old gimmicks and whatnot, that could be really fun.
You definitely have me talked into that in a very short time frame. Like Triple H, because what, he was off last WrestleMania, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he has not wrestled in like a year and a half, I think.
Yeah, it's been a while. Like I remember them.
I think his last match was in Saudi Arabia against Randy Orton.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he hasn't been off. He's been off for a while. They did make him disappear. After a nice little visual with the sledgehammer on fire, and then he's gone. So he could still come back in the storyline. Yeah,
I did kind of laugh that while I'm glad that the announcer stayed silent. It was kind of funny. I did kind of notice. I'm like, hold on, like Triple H just disappeared, guys. Completely bugged out.
He's the COO of the company. I don't know why that's not a bigger deal.
Yeah, this is important one way or the other. But yeah, I mean, he kind of bugged out. We'll see if they give some type of storyline reason for that. Like, I'm not exactly expecting it, but it's a fun way to move along that storyline between The Fiend and Randy Orton. You know, I yeah. Yeah, well, you know, this is all about kind of waiting. There's not going to be, this is another one where there's not going to be a lot of physicality, so you need kind of weird stuff happening like this. And Alexa Bliss is doing a good job of being the emissary of the Fiend.
Yeah, she's doing a really good job. I definitely, I'm digging her quite a bit.
So yeah, that's that didn't need to be addressed, but that was one of the very few positives that got saved for entirely too late at night. Now, because there weren't as many double match participants on SmackDown, this did not feel as COVID affected. Oh boy. There was definitely one outcome that that stood out to me and not in a positive light.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, Dolph Ziggler and
Oh, thank
Robert
God. Oh,
Roode.
I thought you were going to talk about it. Oh, no, go ahead.
No, that
Oh, we'll talk about the tag title match first.
Yeah, well, that's at least the one. That's the first one. Like that, I got that. That one got given. I was given spoilers on my phone, and I was unpleased with this. I don't
Yeah.
mind getting the alerts that I had. You know, I can look at a review of any of the shows. I'm like, okay, cool. But when I guess that was one reason why it stood out to me. Because I was not yeah, I got some spoiled on it. And that's another one where the Street Profits, they had that match and they got their win over New Day. And nothing kind of really happened with them for a little bit.
No.
But Ziggler and Rude never got reestablished either, really. And that's also one of the reasons why it's kind of annoying. Like, and I don't know what they do for you either at this point as champions.
I don't know. There's really no other teams. I mean, unless we count like Gable and Otis, there's and they just came together. Oh, Cesaro and Nakamura, but looks like they might be not a thing anymore either. So, yeah, no, it's just continuing on with Street Profits versus Ziggler and Rude. And at some point, I guess they felt like Ziggler and Rude had to win the tag titles to keep it going some more.
Yeah. That was definitely a not good part of SmackDown this week. Not a big fan of that. And I guess I did forget we got a double match to start SmackDown. 'Cause we got Apollo Crews versus Big E two times in a row.
Yes, we did. I didn't get what they were doing with that at first, because that small package did not look like both guys' shoulders were down. It looked very clear that Apollo's shoulder was, at least one of Apollo's shoulders was up. So that really hurt it right there, and there was a close-up of his shoulders too. So it's just like it just made it look really bad, unless you saw it differently.
No. I was just like, I was trying to figure out why there was controversy.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I honestly was just lost. I'm like, huh? Like, yeah, there's a clear winner and loser here. Like, Okay. And then they have a rematch, and then it ends quickly.
Yeah.
Like, why not just have Big E win if he's gonna win in the end? Like,
Now, on Talking Smack, Apollo did challenge Big E to a rematch. And then, I don't know if you've seen it, but they had Paul Heyman do a fairly incredible promo on Apollo, basically calling him out for, being too nice and going through with that second match. And we all saw you win. You could have gotten a rematch next week, next month, whenever you want. You didn't have to go. You didn't have to do that. It's time for you to toughen up. It's time for you to basically, I basically maybe stirring up for an Apollo heel turn.
oh man. Yeah, like it Apollo Crews is just interesting. Like, I'm not quite sure why he hasn't ever gained traction. Like, he's never had, when he's gotten a chance to talk, I don't feel like he's ever had like a Ricochet cornball moment. I'm not sure that he's the best at it, but
No, far by far, far from it.
I don't think it's as, a Ricochet level deficit. So I don't understand why he hasn't been able to at least get into that Intercontinental US Championship kind of area when he's gotten some shots. And I mean, he's gotten at least a couple of chances and it never seems to stick. I mean, he did end up having the injury the one time, which is never helpful to even if you're holding on to the belt during your injury. I
Well, I
always
mean,
feel
he
like
had the was it earlier this year? He had the Intercontinental title reign in Raw. That was seemed like it was going really well until he, ran into the Bobby Lashley and the Hurt Business. And at that
Oh.
point, them coming off so cool and him coming off so milquetoast and goody goody, it kind of did hurt him at that point. So, Apollo was some kind of an edge. It might be some what can help him.
Yeah, it would definitely be an interesting look, 'cause Big E definitely has the babyface market cornered. They're definitely continuing the New Day energy with him, and not trying to make him look in the least bit heelish here. So yeah, I mean, I guess I would enjoy a heel turn by Apollo. Just to see if he can make more of an impact. Street Profits, and I guess, yeah, I guess we just have the main event then.
Oh, yes.
I mean, this was way easier to review SmackDown. Like, there really was. I mean, there is a lot happening, but it's really a lot more condensed down. Well, we at least got a mini Shinsuke Nakamura revival
Oh,
during
yes. I
the
mean, this was
gauntlet
kind
match.
of the brilliance of what SmackDown was. It was a show long story threaded throughout the whole night, and the main event lasted almost an hour. So there really wasn't much else going on the show after the first hour.
Yeah, I guess these gaunt they it does seem like every now and again the WWE's gone to these gauntlet matches that last half a show or
Yeah,
a
and
third of a show in Raw's case.
mostly they're pretty damn awesome, and they accomplished their objectives. And one of the objectives, as you mentioned, was to reinvigorate one Shinsuke Nakamura as a babyface, seemingly. Yeah,
Yeah.
it was a Nakamura showed up with his working boots. I wonder if it's contract year.
Well, is kind of funny. I feel like that has been a major knock against Mr. Nakamura, that he is just over here to surf. I do know that I have at least seen one very good match. Unfortunately, it was the first match I saw with him live at NXT against Sami Zayn.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty much the peak of his WWE run right there.
So, like, I know, or at least I feel like he is physically capable of it. You know, I guess it just seems like it's a matter of whether he is mentally in it to have that type of a run. And it would definitely freshen up his character. I don't feel like... Because did they present him as more of a tweener before? Like, I'm trying to remember if...
Him and Cesaro have been straight heels for quite some time.
Well, and I feel like
they were kind of thrown together, and
but still
their partnership is, they've been partners for like probably about a year now.
it's been a while. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a year. I would say it's at least been, you know,
well, yeah,
8 to 10 months.
Yeah, they were brought together with Sami Zayn. Yeah, so that's where that was. Yeah. Yeah, they've been together quite a while, but for whatever reason, they decided that tonight was the night that they wanted to get Nakamura back up and running as a single and seemingly as a babyface. And you know what? Nakamura just had a hell of a night. He was an incredible performance, and you know, in the end, he was completely screwed. So now he is now a potential babyface challenger for Roman Reigns down the line. They've got at least three people who are viable with him, Daniel Bryan, and Kevin Owens. But the victory for the night went to one Adam Pearce.
I will not stop. I started that joke about sign points to Adam Pearce appearances. I want to say that I've been running with that joke for at least 3 years now. But Adam Pearce, the last several months, has become a TV regular.
Yes, he has. It's been really since COVID. Yes, because they have had less McMahon influence on TV since then. Though Vincent, you know, Shane obviously did his you know, Raw Underground stuff, and Vince has made his appearances, you know, since. But for the most part,
yeah,
you know, once again, we've made our comments and quips about it. This guy just showed up. He has no history on WWE TV. The majority of the audience has no idea who he is or where he came from. He just started laying down the law. First, he just showed up to, you know, break up fights and whatnot. Then he started being the guy who makes some matches. Then he's in almost every segment of Raw and SmackDown in some way. And now, you know, they started a thing where Roman Reigns was blaming him for what happened last week and getting in his face and putting his hands on him. And they threaded the storyline throughout the whole show of Adam Pearce, whether he's going to fight or not. And then Heyman gets him put in the match. And
and he did, I feel like I saw the GIF before I saw the whole segment, but him selling the super kick from Jay is one of the more brilliant sell jobs from a super kick. And I believe that was the summation of the GIF too. Like, he crumpled up just perfectly. He stayed up for just a second long enough to make the fall seem even better. Man. That was a hell of a job by the Scrap Daddy.
Old Scrap Daddy knows his basics.
But yeah, he ends up getting the win. I mean, I do like I'm like this is kind of a fun feud.
This is a it's a fun thing to do. Now there's a chance that he, that by the time we get to the Royal Rumble, he's taken out of the match, and Nakamura gets the match anyway. If they
Oh.
don't actually want to go through with this, but if they do, well, this could be fun. Obviously he doesn't stand a chance. He'll get his ass kicked, but
No.
maybe at some point in the match, Roman, runs himself into the post or something, so Pierce can have some offense before finally, losing. But it's fine. It's the Royal Rumble. I mean, you could
Oh.
have a better title match if they wanted to go the route of having, Pierce take on out and Nakamura put in. But if not, they go through with it. It will be fine.
Yeah, and I think we brought it up last week. The Rumble is always a place where kind of the title matches are usually secondary.
They are. I mean, there have been some really good to great ones. I mean, obviously, probably the best one ever was the Triple H Cactus Jack street fight from Madison Square Garden, 20 some years ago, 21 years ago now. But and there have been some other really good ones over the years, or some bigger than usual ones. Obviously, one year The Rock came back to face CM Punk, and they actually put that match on last because it was a bigger deal than the Rumble that one year. But yeah, but there's been a lot of weird, strange, Royal Rumble title matches over the years as well.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised if it goes to the Royal Rumble in this fashion. And then you do have since you said Nakamura and Kevin Owens is still involved, I
And Daniel Bryan as
believe.
well. So you have three viable contenders
And
for
we
the WWE
usually
Championship.
have Elimination Chamber in between.
Yes.
So that's if you're setting up multiple challengers, good job. It makes for, to me, an easy transition to the Elimination Chamber. We'll see if that's the case or if it's something else. And it just made me think. I'm like, ah, shit. I think I need to update the graphics for the Elimination Chamber logo. Put that on the agenda items for Stunt Granny. That last hour was really great. It was really enjoyable there on SmackDown. It went through, like you said, it really told an interesting story that they had told throughout the show. So yeah. Kudos to SmackDown for, well, both SmackDown and Raw ended on good notes.
Yes, they did.
So, hey, let's end this on a good note. I am drinking, Stoss Brewing is out of Delaware, Ohio, and it's just a husband and wife team. They have not really tried to expand. They are just like your neighborhood bar, but they supply beyond excellent beer. And this Citra Pale Ale is it is no different. It is a very light drinking. It has a little bit of bitterness in it. It has a little bit of the floralness from the Citra. It is a hop that I do get along with quite frequently. So I was I am not terribly surprised. And yeah, it's a good one. I also had their Flying Fat Man, their Christmas ale, when we were up there, and that was quite exceptional. And their Winter Wonderland wit beer was also excellent. So yeah, if you happen to be in the Delaware, Ohio area, it is worth a stop. Unfortunately, they do not distribute through the state, but they should. They're that good. So I will leave it at that. I'm at DeFrango11. That is my bell time beer slash craft beer choice of the show. That is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you can happen to rate us and where you happen to download this very show. Please do so and have a good night.
Later.